Hey guys, this is Chris Brown. Don't forget that the Stewardship Conference is right around the corner on May 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we're so excited about this event that we want to provide an exclusive offer for our Leadership Momentum podcast listeners. We will give you $50 off your current registration price when you use the promo code MOMENTUM. Early bird pricing ends April 16th, so don't wait any longer. For all the details on the Stewardship Conference and where to register, go to stewardshipcentral.org today.
This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. We are so thrilled to bring you another fantastic episode of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. If you haven't listened to our previous episodes, I do want to encourage you to download those as well. They're packed with tremendous wisdom from some of the most respected church leaders in the world, and those discussions are only a click away, so make sure you check those out. Well, today we have a terrific leadership discussion with the one and only Christine Kane. Of course, she has not only been an amazing executive level leader at one of the biggest churches in the world, the global church we know as Hillsong, but her husband and her have several other ministries that they lead as well, like Propel Women, which you're very familiar with, most of you, and the A21, not to mention just leading and managing her insane speaking schedule. I mean, she is all over the planet all the time. But her and I, we sat down and we discussed some of the tensions that she faces, not only as a leader, but just like you, she's also a person. And I hope you benefit from us having that little conversation in the studio. But before we get there, I had a chance to sit down with Dave Ramsey over in his studio on the other side of Ramsey Solutions headquarters here. And I wanted to ask him a few questions about an event coming up next month that I know that you're interested in, and I don't want you to miss out on it. So here is Dave Ramsey and I talking about the importance of attending this upcoming conference. So, Dave, another conference for folks to go to, a stewardship conference. We got that coming up May 16th through the 18th. And, of course, I want to ask you, your heart, obviously, this is something that you've thought of for a really long time. And then we had our first one just about 18 months ago. And I wanted to ask you, what's the heartbeat behind the stewardship conference?
Well, we've been working really hard and feel like God has directed us real clearly to reclaim the word stewardship. And we've spent a lot of money and a lot of effort investing that into that, and launching the Chris Brown True Stewardship Show, stewardship.com, stewardshipcentral.org as a resource for pastors and leaders to be able to preach and teach on the subject of stewardship, but really get to create all kinds of levels of different movement in the whole stewardship space. So we get people thinking about handling money God's ways for God's glory. Mm-hmm. And when God's people start doing that, it changes things. So it's exciting for us.
Yeah. So we had our first one back, I think it was November of 14. So however long that's been, obviously that was a lot of fun. What was the major takeaways for you? You kind of sat in there, watched this vision come, you know, it happened, and you had all this energy around it. What was your big takeaways from the first one?
Well, I'll brag on our team to start with. Mm-hmm. We know how to put on an event. I mean, we're world-class event producers. And sometimes in the stewardship space, because it's money and it's, you know, it's kind of stewardship nerds or whatever, some of those things are a little boring, or sometimes, not always, but sometimes they're poorly produced or whatever. Mm-hmm. And our stuff's none of that. I mean, and so I didn't think anything about it, because we always bring the heat, man. I mean, it's fun, funny, passionate, well-produced, and you're going to come away having an experience. But last year, it just caught me off guard how many people were kind of shocked at that. Uh-huh. You know, they came out there going, this is the best thing I've been doing in years. And I went, wow, well, did you think it was going to be something else? You know, but of course it is. But there was a whole lot of people there that came up to me going, this is life-changing material.
Yeah.
I am so going back to our church and change the way we do things. I'm so, you know, reprogramming my mind on how I look at stewardship. And people were really, they got lifted and inspired, but they also got fresh information and some clarity of plan.
Yeah, what I love about it is you've got these two tracks. You got the stewardship track and leadership track, and it's both happening at the same time. They intertwine and in how well you can do the stewardship at your church. And I'm looking at the lineup for this year, and I mean, obviously, you're the most excited about hearing from me on the lineup. But
hey, Chris Brown speaking.
Woo-hoo! What is it that excites you the most about, not necessarily the who's speaking, but just this? What's the opportunity that this year that you're just excited about where we can take this thing?
Well, these are the folks speaking are all people that are doing something in the stewardship space. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody who speaks for a living and we brought them in as a hired gun or something like that.
Yeah.
Pete Wilson does an incredible job. Perry Noble does an incredible job with stewardship at their church. These are some of the top pastors in America. They're all speaking. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is just a jewel.
Yeah.
I mean, you if you've never heard him, once you've heard him, you'll get why we would do this. I mean, he's just the guy. And, of course, two of the godfathers, Howard Dayton and Ron Blue, to be there. Those two and Larry Burkett pretty much started the stewardship movement within evangelical Christianity 20, 30 years back. And so they'll be there. And, of course, Chris Brown, the freshest, newest face on this lineup, but he's really in this space, and he's gaining a huge level of respect right off the bat. So it's a group of speakers that I'll be sitting in the audience taking notes from, mm-hmm. because they're people that know how to communicate on an A level,
yeah.
but they're also doers. This is application, it's not theory.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our listeners here at Leadership Momentum Podcast hear from me all the time about, you know, how excited I am about what the possibilities are, what the future looks like when we get this right. From Dave Ramsey himself, what is it that, why should executive level staff, why should they be at this event?
Well, we discovered many years ago. I mean, I remember right where I was having a discussion with some of our team in our stewardship department. And, you know, I was at an Applebee's having a lime chicken, tequila lime chicken dinner at like 11:30 at night or 11 at night. We were the last people to get in because we'd been doing an event. And we started thinking, man, what would happen if the person in the pew got out of debt and got on a plan? The natural byproduct would be giving. Too many times we try to talk about giving and getting broke people to give. But what would happen if we had a complete transformation in that household with how they do money, how they do their marriage as a result, how they look at the future, how pumped up they are? That household change. Now, let's lock all of those households together and call them a congregation. The whole congregation, it would be mandatory that they had shifted automatically because you shifted the very baseline, the foundation of the congregation called the family unit. When the family unit gets control, then it frees up the money, and the giving is a natural byproduct of people being set free. And so giving always goes up when the families are set free.
Yeah.
And the families have a plan. So I'm passionate about stewardship because stewardship for Joe and Susie, middle class America, is what, when they get their act together, that's what feeds hungry kids. That's what helps a single mom. That's what builds a hospital. That's what digs a well. But we got to get them free so that ministry is done.
Well, and there you have it. Dave drops the mic. Y'all, I cannot encourage you enough to come to Dave Ramsey's Stewardship Conference, May 16th through the 18th. We are reclaiming stewardship together, and we're seeing churches churches that are taking this seriously. Well, what they're seeing God do some incredible things, not only in people's lives, but also in the overall church participation. You know, attendance is going up, volunteering is going up, community involvement is up, and giving. Giving is going through the roof, all because people are getting more margins in their lives and in their calendars and in their wallets. These great people have been intentioned for ministry all along. But it's when they actually get positioned that they really experience the abundant life that God intended for them. So I implore you, go to stewardshipcentral.org today. That's where you need to go, stewardshipcentral.org. Find out all the details, and that's also where you register. When you go to stewardshipcentral.org, type in the promo code. This is just for Leadership Momentum Podcast listeners, so this is kind of special for y'all. Don't share it with anybody. It's just us, right? Type in the promo code MOMENTUM to receive a $50 off the current conference price just for being a Leadership Momentum podcast listener. And for the best deal, of course, you're registering today. But tell your friends, those that don't register today, of course, you all are doing it today. I know, because you guys are awesome. But tell your friends to register before the early bird rate ends on April 16th. Again, register at stewardshipcentral.org using the promo code MOMENTUM before April 16th. And that's why it's so important that we subscribe to this podcast, not just download it whenever you get the tweet or whenever you get the Facebook post, but you subscribe to it because then it drops right there at the first of the month, and you can take advantage of these deals that we have that usually expire midway through the month, and we don't want you to miss out for those things. Well, our featured guest needs very little introduction. I kind of hinted at it a little bit earlier, but in case you're unaware of just how much God is using Christine Kane, and you want to celebrate that with her and with me, and yes, we should celebrate each other's victories. Did you catch that? To celebrate with her what God's doing in her life? It's good for the body of Christ when we celebrate each other. And it's good for us too. Proverbs 11:25 tells us, whoever refreshes others themselves is refreshed. So if you find yourself discouraged as a leader, you may need to go out of your way to cheer on a few leaders that you know and remind them and yourself, hey, we're all on the same team. There's 7 billion people on this planet. There's plenty of room for us all to be winning. Now, of course, that was all free for you. Had nothing to do with Christine Kane. Folks, Christine loves Jesus with all her heart. She is the wife to Nick Kane, and she says the mom to incredible girls named Katie and Sophia. She travels the globe preaching and teaching and writing books and, of course, you guys know, advocating for justice. Christine says she speaks way too fast and too much, but for the millions of people around the world who are raving fans of her work, we obviously don't think so. We want her to talk more and more and more. Christine and Nick founded A21, an anti-human trafficking organization that fights slavery around the globe. And Christine has a heart for freeing captives, but check this out, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Ultimately, it all comes back. All of her motive comes back to her primary focus, and that is building the church. So in last month's episode, one of our guests, Pastor Larry Bry, who absolutely brought it, we discussed the most important characteristics of an elite campus pastor. And the common theme through many of those characteristics was a word that we're all very familiar with, and that word is passion. Although the word carried a lot of weight and significance in that episode, many times when we hear that word, passion, it's being misused. You might hear it all the time. It might drive you crazy. Passion. I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about getting my nails done. I'm passionate about football. Blah, blah, blah. Passion, passion, passion. What we really mean is we're interested. It's a big difference between interest and passion. What does real passion look like? What does it sound like? We all have different personalities, but are there some key components that need to exist, regardless of personality types and leadership styles, that need to be present for a leader to be considered a passionate leader? Would you call yourself a passionate leader? Do you have passionate leaders underneath you? Well, there are very few people that I could talk to that radiate more consistent passion than Christine Kane. We're going to be taking a deeper look into this idea of passion. And that's a great place for our conversation to start. So enjoy this conversation with Christine Kane that starts with breaking down this key to effective leadership, passion. Enjoy. Well, folks, like I said, we have got Christine Kane in the studio. Of course, we're really, really excited and excited to talk about several things today. Christine, thank you for joining us.
Chris, it is my honor. I'm pumped.
Folks, are just her being in the studio, you just radiate so much passion. That's one of the things I really want to talk about. Christine, the word passion, if I think about it in the dictionary, I think of folks like yourself right next to it as far as just a package of passion. But I want to talk a little bit about that because I feel like in the church world that word is overused. I feel like it's passion, and another word that drives me nuts is intentional. Intentional and those are two words I'm like, oh my God, if I hear those two words one more time, just driving me nuts. So I wanted to ask you a bunch about passion. And of course, your passion's gone into your latest book and gone into many of the organizations you lead. But tell me, what does passion mean to Christine Kane?
I think passion to me is like an enthusiasm, an intense enthusiasm, and obviously, you know, biblically, enthusiasm and theos in God. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in God, there is this authentic passion that flows from who you are. They're very different to hype or trying to create atmosphere, because hype is externally regulated. Passion is internally regulated by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So you get passionate and compassionate about the things Jesus is passionate and compassionate about.
Everywhere Christine goes, she kind of has this, it makes her feel uncomfortable. We're bragging on her right here. But you have an effect on environments. And you just hit on it a little bit about it's internal and it comes from the inside. What is cultivating that? Obviously, you're passionate, but what does that cultivating look like in Christine Kane's life?
I think you have to just, for me, the passion comes from staying, your basic spiritual disciplines. I think, you know, a lot of people talk about burning out for God, and so they misuse passion by thinking, I've got to go out there and do a whole lot of activity. I never think it's the activity that burns you out. It's not what you do for God that burns you out. It's what you don't do. So you lose your passion when you lose sight of the things that actually fuel your passion. And so to me, my next speaking opportunity or, you know, the next thing I'm going to do through A21 is not the thing that fuels my passion. Jesus is the fuel for my passion. His word, his Holy Spirit, I stir myself up in. Chris, I'll tell you a story that I think will help this. Nick and I, my husband, this single most ravishing piece of masculine flesh on planet Earth, he and I were in Italy a few years ago, and there was this huge cathedral in the center of one of these cities. And I mean, you've seen 100 of them if you go through Europe. And in its heyday, this cathedral would have probably housed maybe 5,000 people. I mean, it was a huge sanctuary. The artwork on the wall was priceless. Obviously, it was, you know, Byzantine times. It was beautiful. The architecture, second to none. And I remember we're looking around, just hundreds of tourists with their camera. And we had to pay €5 to go up the stairs, up the steeple. And it was advertised as the best viewing platform for the city, of the entire city. And so we paid our €5, went up, and I'm just watching hundreds of people with their cameras take pictures of the city. And I began to weep. And I don't actually do that often. I'm not that kind of girly girl. But my husband, he goes, "What's up?" And I said, "You know, Nick, when the people were building this church, this cathedral back in the day, the people that gave their offerings to build the church, the pioneers that planted the church, and they didn't do that with the thought that a few hundred years from now, people would use this as a tourist attraction, a monument to what God once did. They did that so that people would find faith here, marriages would be restored, people would be baptized, people would be healed, they'd hear the word of God." I said, "But now it's a tourist attraction, the top tourist attraction." And then I went on to say, I said, "You know, who's not to say that today the church that we're a part of, that's, you know, one of the most influential churches in the Western world, 100 years from now, people aren't going to be lining up. Man, that was the church that did Shout to the Lord. That was the church that sung Oceans. That was the church that, you know." And it was right there, and I said, "You know, this is what happens when the church stops being the church and the church starts doing church, when we begin to creedalize and bureaucratize and institutionalize our Christianity and the passion." And it's like when you lose your passion, the true sense of the word. And I felt just in my heart, the Lord said, "You know, a passion deficiency syndrome has actually hit the church. We're going through the routine." And that could even mean with flashing lights, skinny jeans and beautiful carpet and great technology. I mean, you can have all of that and think that that's passion when all it is just taking bad church and just giving it a facelift. And it's not a new sense of the fire of God. It's just, you know, trying to do an old thing in a new way. That's not going to change anything. And so you could still be passionless and be depending on those external motivations to keep you going. And, you know, when Nick and I first started, before we started dating, he found out from my best friend that I swam in our local swimming pool at 6 a.m. every morning. And I'd been doing this for a year. He had never, ever been down there. Then all of a sudden I would go down to the pool and this guy was already doing laps. And after about, a week, we bumped into each other and I said, "Nick, what are you doing here?" And he kind of got that male bravado. He goes, "What do you mean, Christine? I'm always here at 6 o'clock in the morning. I love swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning." Now, Chris, I've been married to that man for 20 solid years. And in 20 years, my husband has never once, not once, not one day ever got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go swimming. And my point with that is you do what you want out of passion. No one's going to make you read your Bible. No one's going to make you turn up for church, and no one's going to make you preach. No one's going to make you witness. No one's going to make you stay morally pure. No one's going to make you do anything, because that's what I mean by it's internally regulated. No one had to make my husband get up early. And I think sometimes we lose that passion. And I'm going, I've been following Jesus for 28 years. I was the kid that was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted. I was the kid that was sexually abused for 12 years. I was the kid that grew up in the poorest zip code in New South Wales, in the state that I grew up in. You know, by all stats, I should be on drugs or dead or you know, two or three different kids to two or three different fathers or whatever the scenario might be, or in prison. And Jesus saved my life. I'm like, yeah, how could you not be passionate? You know, I don't know what to say. It's like, it never gets old to me. Never gets old.
I think sometimes we use the word passion. We're saying, I'm interested. There's a big difference between passion and interest. And I just want us to really think through, like, how passionate are we? Of course, Christine just hinted at the fact that there's something that's behind her passion, all the way back to some experiences and knowing, just filled with gratitude that she's still not there, or that her life didn't take a turn in a different direction. Of course, you've got a book coming out mm-hmm. on May 10th, I believe.
Yes,
right? May 10th. And it's called Unashamed. And I love this tagline. It says, drop the baggage, pick up your freedom, and fulfill your destiny. And that is so huge. And walk us through what those, you wrote those down on purpose. I love the linear thought there, if it is linear, but I just love the linear progression there. You've done that in your own life.
And it's ongoing, because you discover baggage all the time, don't you, that you didn't know. It just becomes lighter and smaller as you go along, because you've hidden those parts. But you have to intentionally choose to drop the baggage. You know, Chris, I think, and if you look at a lot of perhaps young women or even men with my kind of background, you go, okay, at 50, why does she seem to sort of be relatively free, you know, and fulfilling destiny, when a lot of women with my background and various forms of that kind of background are still crippled and paralyzed and still locked in the same patterns of shame and unforgiveness and bitterness and offense and hurt and insecurity and fear and doubt. I mean, the list is endless. You know, we all acquire baggage. We live in a fallen world. So some of that baggage we pick up ourselves, others have dumped on us. In my case, right from birth, a lot of baggage was dumped on me that I never asked for. So I can't change that. The blood of Jesus does not give you amnesia, but it does give you a life beyond your past. And I think I had to get to a place, Chris, where I had to choose to make what Jesus did for me greater than what anyone had done to me. And that was not as easy as it sounds, because I had spent years focusing on what was done to me. So therefore, that made me a victim, and that justified my defense mechanisms, my negative patterns of destructive behavior. And then at some point, though, I had to understand that the blood of Jesus, freedom is not a personality type, it's a blood type, it's the blood of Jesus. And so that blood could set me free. But I had to make a decision that, okay, that as Jesus revealed baggage to me, that I would be willing to drop it. And then you can't then just be empty-handed, because you're going to end up picking up your baggage again. I had to intentionally pick up freedom. Now, that's not easy. Because when you've lived as a victim and you've lived in slavery to your baggage all your life, if freedom was easy, everyone would want to be free. But sometimes it's easier to wear the cloak of victimhood and slavery than it is to embrace the responsibility of freedom. Because with freedom comes responsibility. And then you can go on and fulfill your destiny. And I think most Christians live delivered but not free. They come out of Egypt, delivered into the wilderness, but then do laps around the same old mountains of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of hurt, of shame, of guilt for all their Christian life, and then actually never go into their Canaan, which is their promised land, where you pick up your freedom and you walk in that freedom. And so we live delivered and not free. And I think the book is very much to say, after 28 years of following Christ with my kind of background and looking at believers and going, why do some and some don't? It's not a person. So, you know, I've heard people say, Chris, well, Chris, it's just your personality. I'm thinking, you didn't know me, like, broken. You've got to intentionally choose. I remember when I snapped my ACL skiing, tore my MCL, tore my meniscus and fractured my knee, did it all. So I had a hamstring graft, and the PT came through to me. And after the surgery, he said these words to me, which I think probably a lot of it is the foundation for the book. He said, Chris, this is how it goes. He goes, you can either be, he goes, your right knee is now stronger than your left knee with a hamstring graft. It actually can do more, and there is no problem. It's stronger than it. But you can either be completely healed or partially healed, or you can either do it quickly or slowly. It's totally up to you. He said, the degree to which you're willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover. And he said, most people don't fully recover, because I did the worst of the worst. Most people don't fully recover. They'll either walk with a limp, or they won't have a total, you know, they won't do certain sport, only because they're not willing to embrace the pain of recovery. He said, the pain of recovery is often greater than the pain of the injury. And if we were willing to embrace that for a small season, we would walk in freedom. And I think for a lot of us, there is great, and I understand pain, you know, I understand it on every level. And sometimes coming out of it is more painful than what set you into it in the first place. What dropping the baggage and picking up freedom, it's an extremely painful process, but Jesus is there with you in the midst of it. But the degree to which we're willing to embrace that is the degree to which we'll walk in freedom.
What would you say to the leader who is out there listening to that and is very inspired by that, but they don't think that they have any significant baggage to drop? They've got a pretty uneventful past. You know, what's their process look like? Because I know for me as well, I dig back to the past, and a lot of my ministry is fueled from past pain and forefathers and lots of violence in the home and, you know, homeless. I just want to see everybody, you know, financially free and being loved by their family and that kind of stuff. But I know a lot of leaders who can't dig back that. They can't dig up that thing that's going to fuel their passion. What would you say to them?
Well, for sure, because it's not my past pain that fuels my passion. It's my love for Jesus that fuels my passion. So I think we all can unite around that. Generally, for those of us with our kind of past, we're a little bit like, you know, as we walk in and pick up our freedom, we are like Joseph in Genesis 50:20. You know, every time we put a trafficker in jail, Chris, every time we help rescue a girl, I feel like saying to the devil, you can stick that in your pipe and smoke it. I bet you wish you left me alone, because I feel like, Joseph, you know, you meant this for evil against me, but yes, God meant it for this very purpose, to save many people alive. And so, of course, there is a degree that not only did Jesus rescue me, but now that fuels me to help rescue others. But I think at the end of the day, it's Jesus. Actually, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that motivates us, and that's where we need to dig. And Jesus never had compassion fatigue. I mean, he's hanging on the cross and he still has compassion on the dude next to him on the cross and says, today you'll be in paradise with me, today, this day. So I think there is no reason for a Christian that is full of the Spirit of God, of which we all are if we're born again, you know, to actually have compassion fatigue or to get bored with their faith. I don't even understand that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. That ought to be our fuel. And, you know, I smile. I'm sitting here. I mean, you know, people can't see us when it's like, well, people don't think they've got baggage. I'm like, oh, sweetheart, I'm 50 years old and I work with some amazing people all around the earth, and I've yet to meet anyone that actually doesn't have some kind of issues. It's just that oftentimes you live with your issues for so long, you don't even realize you've got them. But if I asked your wife or your husband, I guarantee you, or your best friend, they'll be able to tell you what your issue is. You know, we just think, oh no, man, I'm successful, especially if you're a leader. You know, no one can tell. I didn't have a bad past. Poor Christine, she was abused. I wasn't. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let's talk about your pride, your lust. I mean, I could begin to take the layers off, but we just don't think, or we become so complacent about our issues that we think it's not a big issue, therefore it's not an issue. And honestly, that'll be the lid to your leadership all the time, because there are blockages, there is baggage that, you know, the bottom line is, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all of the issues of life. So as a leader, I mean, we can read 1,000 leadership books and we can have principles and goal setting, and I'm into it all. I mean, absolutely, you know, I'm probably read more leadership books than anyone else. But at the end of the day, it's your heart that's going to determine your leadership potential, because out of it flow all of the issues of life, not some. So really, the degree to which you allow God to do an internal work in your heart, which is the source of where your passion lies, is the degree to which you're going to be effective as a leader. And you can increase. Your heart will take you places where your gift never will. Your passion will take you and open doors for you that your gift and talent never will. And if people would understand that, you'd go, why does the Lord say, okay, God, search me? Am I reading this book, not as a textbook to just get a sermon next Sunday, but I'm going to let this book read me and reveal to me my own heart. And then you'll discover a whole lot of issues. And, you know, we have, you know, we cover it even like, I'm just a strong leader. I don't have an anger issue. I'm just a strong leader and I'm just intolerant. I don't have a pride issue. But, you know, the truth is that it's like there are people in the Bible and we don't even know their names, but we know their issues. So you've got people that have buried things to do with their fathers, and so they're outworking that in their ministry and hurting people, hurt people, wounded leaders wound people, broken leaders break people. And so I think it's very important that we actually dig down and go, you know, God, where are those areas of hurt, of woundedness, of brokenness? And we all live in a fallen world, so we've all got a degree and a measure of that. And where is that capping my leadership potential? So I want God to go on the inside and bring cleansing and health to that. So out of me will flow rivers of living water, and I can bring life and hope to people. So I think in a lot of ways, I'm like, we need to actually say, Jesus, what are my issues? You know, there's the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her name, but we know her issue. There's the demoniac. We don't know his name, but we know his issue. There's the blind man. We don't. So eventually you're not even defined by your name anymore. You're defined by your issue. You know, that I don't even want to be defined by she's that kind of leader, or she's, I want to be defined as my identity in Christ, that she is secure. She's not defined by insecurity or fear or doubt or pride or arrogance, but wow, you know, hopefully if you're around me, out of me emanates the love of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit, not just the gift of the Spirit, because normally for our 45-minute sermon, the gift of the Spirit is very evident. But what about love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and patience and long-suffering and self-control? That's where you know where you really have issues, because in the church, and particularly when it comes to leadership, unfortunately, we've put the fruit of the Spirit in the domain of that's just a woman thing. It's not a woman thing. It's not a chick thing. It's a God thing. It's a godly thing. They are fruits of the Holy Spirit of God, of the third part of the Trinity. Like, you know, really, it's pretty awesome. So we shouldn't just be looking at our gift quotient. We should be looking at our fruit quotient. And where you know something is broken on the inside is when your fruit quotient isn't actually that high. And that is a heart issue. It's not a gift or a talent issue. And the gift that is on you will destroy you if your character cannot sustain you. And so I think we need to understand that there's always work to be done internally.
Mm. Well, of course, those who are listening in, there's that 15-second rewind button there that you can play several times, because that was a ton of meat. Of course, there's lots of fruit in your life. We've admired it for years. And you'd hinted at A21 there for a second. And I just wanted to push pause for a minute. Many of our listeners who have partnered with you on that or are seeking to partner with you even more on that, give us an update on A21, how things are going.
Oh my gosh, it's like fantastic by the grace of God. And, you know, I mean, the issue of human trafficking, of course, is a great horror around the world. There's no issue. But we're about to open, this year we're rolling out our 17th office around the world, which is quite amazing by the grace of God. You know, we're going to open in Iraq, Copenhagen and Barcelona in the next couple of months.
And Nashville.
And Nashville. We've opened a Nashville office. We have. And so so in America, we have Charleston, Charlotte, over in LA and Nashville, of course, the epicenter of the universe, Nashville, Vegas.
Yes, yes.
And then we have the Ukraine, and we have Copenhagen, and we have Oslo and Sofia, Bulgaria, and Greece and Thailand, Cambodia, up in England, Australia, South Africa, you know, wherever there's trafficking routes, we're going to be there, and at varying degrees. But, you know, we're involved in rescue and restoration, the whole gamut of the process. And so we're seeing more traffickers go to jail than ever. We're seeing more women and children rescued than ever. A really exciting thing that's happening is with the Olympics coming up, we should hit 1 billion eyeballs with every aeroplane flying into the Olympics. For the month leading up to the Olympics has got a campaign that we've started. It's called It's a Penalty, because obviously the big games and the big sporting events are big trafficking centers. And so everyone that's flying in on any airplane is going to see a 3-minute ad about the fact that if you did something, you know, in a foreign country, you couldn't be prosecuted over here. But now, you know, the laws have changed and we're able to say it's a penalty. So if you're going to go, and, you know, often you find grown men who just lose their brains when they go overseas. You see them doing things with 12-year-old girls in Thailand and go, you would never do this in your own country, your own granddaughter. And that's because it's interesting when you think there's no consequence. So now it's saying, oh, no, if you get caught there, it's a penalty in your country of origin, which is huge. And so I'm seeing fantastic things out. It's Bodies Are Not Commodities programs through high schools throughout the world is absolutely awesome, teaching people that human bodies are not commodities. And so I'm just seeing amazing things happen, to be honest with you. Yeah.
That's huge. You've got so many things going on. You've got books and speaking, and you've got organizations you're running. Walk us through from a leader standpoint. You were, I'm assuming, originally just sitting in a seat and, being a faithful attendee there at Hillsong, and you started this idea, this passion, and now that's this
you just, it's this big, huge animal with tons of staff. Walk us through the things that are probably the most important from a leader perspective that you could tell us as we're trying to grow ministries.
Well, you know, Chris, first and foremost, I'm a local church girl to mm-hmm. the call. I'm still part of the global leadership team, you know, yeah. In that sense. So the local church is still my driving factor. And I work, whether it's A21 or Propel Women, really work through the local church. And so much of my ministry, especially all my weekend work, is to help build local churches. And I think it's important that people understand that. So, you know, yeah. I love this podcast because, you know, for that reason. And so I think that what we have to do is continue to grow ourselves. And that's the bottom line is, you know, to continue to be effective. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall bear fruit into old age. And what I see is a lot of leaders getting cynical, burnt out and tired into old age. And I'm thinking that that's the antithesis of what the scripture says. It says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. And I'm finding that it just gets better and better as I get older. Not because there's plenty of discouragement. There's plenty of disillusionment. In fact, stick around longer. You know, you and I have been around a while now, so you see a lot more. There's more room for disappointment. There's more room for betrayal. There's more opportunity to mistrust, to be offended, to... but, you know, there's a bottom line. My hope is in Jesus, and I still believe all of that. So to me, you've got to keep your spirit fresh. You've got to keep your spirit young. Stick around young people that are a bit idealistic as well. I don't want to get around cynical Christians that blog about negative. I don't want to be around naysayers or people that they've produced no fruit in their ministry for the last 10 years, so they just blog about everyone else's ministry. You know, I just cannot be bothered with all of that. I think Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I want to be about building what he's building. So I've got it. Part of that is obviously to continue to build me, to earn the right by the grace of God to still speak, you know, by God's grace, I've had the opportunity to be part of, you know, great events, Passion and Catalyst and the Willow Leadership Summit. Across the breadth of Christ and all the Hillsong events, I get the opportunity to speak to the church. Therefore, I take that really seriously, which means I've got to remain prophetic. I've got to remain fresh in my spirit. I don't want to become like a angry old woman, you know, just kind of like in the church in my day, you know, I don't want to be that. To earn the right to still be able to speak to college students that they will listen, and yeah. to teenagers. I mean, I'm shocked I'm having this resurgence amongst, you know, stadiums filled with teenagers. I'm like, okay, they want to hear mum, I guess. To stay fresh, it's got nothing to do with wearing skinny jeans and having tattoos. Yeah. I don't have tattoos and I like my jeans a bit looser. but relevance is being true to who you are. See, it's, I get up, I love God and I love people, and I think that comes through. That's the bottom line, is that I don't have to be trendy. I ask my 14-year-old daughter before I go and speak somewhere, like, who are these people listening to and who's doing, you know, what's happening? It's not. I don't try to stay also current. I do try to remain true in my love affair with Jesus. And I think that flows out. And then I'm committed to growing myself. I mean, everything I start, whether it's Propel Women or A21, they're in spheres that I had zero experience in. And I find, Chris, what happens with a lot of leaders is we might be on step number 5 and we might be at a level 10 proficiency and we're good at it. We are too scared to go up to step number 6 and become a level 1 proficiency. And because we have to look a bit stupid to do that. And I guess I'm just willing to look stupid at every step of the way.
You just listed all those events, and I'm like, man, she is all over the place. But one of the events that you have coming up, you've got a couple events with us.
Yes, I'm so excited. First time.
The Business Boutique, uh-huh. and you'll be speaking at that. Lisa Turkhurst will be joining us too, yeah. along with a bunch of other folks as well. Christy Wright, Rachel Cruz, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, several different speakers. And so you've got this passion, and you're speaking all these events all over the world, like literally all over the world. Business Boutique. What's fueling your passion on that?
I love Christy's vision for it as well, because this may sound long-winded, but it really isn't. You know, I just flew in, I told you, from Europe, and I was in Bulgaria where we have one of our centers. And so we have girls that have been trafficked, and they're in a cycle of poverty and a cycle of trafficking. And last year, we began our first micro-enterprise with these girls, and we call it Liberty. Obviously freedom, you know, and one, they've got two projects. One is a chicken farm and one is creating Liberty scarves, beautiful scarves that, you know, we have Ashley Green from Hollywood. They're being sold all over Hollywood. So they're great quality, but they're made from the survivors of trafficking. And so the purpose of that is, for the first time, these girls who have come out of abject poverty, whose parents have sold them because there's no other option, so they think, that we help them create a business that then can help fund them and their children and their families. And I'm watching them like that. You know, they made a 30,000 euro profit last year, which is more than their families have made in two lifetimes. And we're able to buy, a home and be able to have education for their children and be able to be free and never have to get back into that cycle. Okay, so from there. So I see how it works on the ground in the most oppressed, the most marginalized, the poorest of the poor. And I know that same thing can help work for women here in North America. And for women, many of them are so gifted and so talented and so educated and are at home maybe and maybe have kids. And there's all this passion and potential and purpose on the inside of them. I don't believe God gave it to us for it to remain stagnant. And I think that if we can help women tap into that God-given destiny and potential, then give them the tools and the keys to say, because often we're so daunted, we think, oh no, how am I going to do this? And not realizing that we're wired up for it anyway. And there was always business women. In Jesus's day, there was Lydia, there was Joanna who helped fund his ministry. Women traveled with Jesus out of their own means. They funded his ministry. So my end game is the more women we can activate to begin to generate income, the more kingdom work we can get done in the long run. So I'm all about it.
Well, leaders, those are two events. Business Boutique is going to be in Phoenix on May 13th and 14th, and it'll be in Dallas on May 20th and 21st. Of course, we'll provide the links at stewardshipcentral.org for that event. Of course, we're going to provide links for everything we've talked about. We've talked about A21. We've talked a little bit about Propel, and we've talked a little bit about Unashamed. Drop the baggage, pick up your freedom, and fulfill your destiny. What is some closing thoughts? What is a major encouragement out of Unashamed that you want to make sure that every leader knows, not only for them, but for their congregation as they kind of relay the word about this new resource?
Well, I think for every leader, you know, I'm 50 this year, Chris, and I finally feel I can write this book. There's a lot of reasons why I haven't put myself on the cover. I've never done that. A lot of these are a statement of saying, you know, the first recorded conversation in the scripture, God goes into the garden, Adam, where are you? And Adam, you know, I was naked, ashamed, afraid, and so I hid. And I think we've been in hiding ever since. And there's parts of us that are constantly in hiding. And, you know, leaders listening to this podcast, you've been in ministry for a while, you definitely take some knocks. And so what you find is that you go into hiding, and I think God's calling us out. And I, you know, the world in every sense keeps putting shame on us. We're not good enough. You know, we're not gifted enough. We're not talented enough. Your congregation's not big enough. You know, your people are not cool enough. It's always, nothing is ever enough. And I guess I want to say to people, you know, shame off you, that the devil came to put shame on us. Oftentimes a lot of other believers will put shame on each other, but Jesus came to lift shame off us so that we can know who we are. And oftentimes a leader can forget who we are in Christ, and then you end up putting your brokenness on other people. So the freer we are, free people, free people. And so if we want to set people free, we need to really know at our core who we are in Christ. Otherwise, even our preaching and teaching, it can become very guilt-laden, very condemnatory, very legalistic, and very judgmental, and we put people into more bondage. But I think the freer you are, the freer you set people. So, it took me 50 years where I finally feel like I can share it. It's definitely got stories that are going to relate to both genders. There's no doubt about it. And it's not a book about abuse or adoption. It's a book about shame. So people are going to be shocked about the stories that I tell, stories of being a woman in leadership, a woman that's intelligent, a woman that's in a man's world. I mean, I think for male senior pastors, this would be a great book to read to maybe even understand some of the challenges the women on your team are experiencing. I think some of that is going to be really great. So I pray that it blesses people and it helps people. And there is no doubt that at least half of your congregation has in some way, shape or form experienced some sort of abuse or pain or suffering. And I think this will give them hope. The more resources of hope, because it's very victory-filled but process-oriented. So it doesn't bypass, it doesn't say Jesus is going to fix it. I told you the basic premise is the degree to which you're willing to embrace the pain of recovery. So for some pastors, this is going to help you. You're going to send me an offering because you're going, I tried to tell them this for 20 years and finally you just go, look, if Chris Kane could get over all this, what's your problem? So, you know, for some of the pastors, I'm going to really help them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Christine, we appreciate your time and all of your talents. You inspire us. We respect you tremendously, and we value your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. Christine Kane, in a very passionate way, has blessed us once again. I hope you've enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And if you would like to continue being inspired by Christine Kane, you can follow her on Twitter at Christine Kane. Her website is ChristineKane.com. If you want to pre-order her book, Unashamed, Drop the Baggage, Pick Up Your Freedom, Fulfill Your Destiny, visit stewardshipcentral.org, and we have a link there for you to do just that. Well, before I let you go, I have to tell you that I'm so excited about the next three Leadership Momentum podcasts. We've got several internationally respected leaders visiting us, and I know you don't want to miss out. I know they'll bless you. So make sure you're not just downloading the podcast, but make sure you've subscribed so you're guaranteed to receive this incredible content. And like this month, there's incentive to hearing the podcast early in the month. Don't forget to grab your discount for the Stewardship Conference by going to stewardshipcentral.org, typing in the promo code MOMENTUM to receive your $50 off that current Stewardship Conference price just for being a Leadership Momentum podcast listener. And remember, for the best deal, register before the early bird rate ends on April 16th. Again, register at stewardshipcentral.org using the promo code MOMENTUM before April 16th. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. And many of you have asked how you can help this podcast. First of all, thank you for your heart, but here's how you can do it. You can subscribe. Yes, some of you still haven't subscribed. Shame on you. But you can write us a review on iTunes. That's another way. You can tell your friends, obviously, your friends who are aspiring to be leaders, or maybe they're leaders in the marketplace or in a church or leading a ministry or something. And for those of you wanting more and more of this content, I want to encourage you, visit stewardshipcentral.org. There is this kind of content all over that website, all for free. Thank you all for listening in. Let's, of course, stay connected all month at Chris Brown On Air on all social platforms. And until next time, let's be leading our teams God's way and for God's glory.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you're looking for more details on the Stewardship Conference in May, or would like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his daily radio show and podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following at Chris Brown On Air. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.